The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlachan Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem, Amen.
Daf Lamed Het. Today's daf is being studied. La'ilu Nishmat Mor Zekini Yosef Ben Sara, Umarat Zekinati Yafa Betzara, ולעילו נשמת אברהם בן אסתר, ולעילו נשמת אליהו בן אשר. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. ורפואה שלמה, שרה רוחמה בת רחל ושרה בת רחל, אין נרפן עליהם. רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, רפואתם כרבה לבוא, וכן ירסו ונאמר, אמן. We begin today's daf on Lamed Zayin Amud Bet, and we start four lines from the bottom. ולרבה דאמר לאחר ייאוש, we learned in the Mishnah the following case. We had an Eved Kanani that was taken into captivity by the Goyim. So the Mishnah said, Ufda'uhu, somebody came and redeemed him. So it says over there, according to the opinion of Rava in the Gemara, the way he explained it was, that we're talking about a case where the original owner, once his slave got taken into captivity, he made yi'ush, which means he gave up hope on ever getting back his slave. So according to the way Rava understands the Mishnah, he understood that since the owner makes yi'ush, so therefore the slave goes free because he relinquished hope. However, according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who is also an opinion in the Mishnah, he says that in all cases the owner does get the slave back. And he gave a reason for that, that the owner gets the slave back. So now the Gemara says, Ulrava de Amar, according to Rabban that said, Le'achar Yi'ush, that it's talking about the Mishnah where the original owner made Yi'ush, Ul Rabbo Sheni. Now, when the second man redeems this slave, he can redeem him for one of two reasons. He can redeem him in order to give him freedom, or he can redeem him for the sake that he should remain a slave. So according to Rava, the way he understood Tanakama is that when he redeems him for the sake of slavehood, so therefore he goes back to become the servant of the original, becomes the slave of the second fellow. The first guy gave up hope. The second guy redeemed him, and therefore he acquires the Eved from the Goy. The Gemara's question is, how does he make such an acquisition? Which means, the Goy that kidnapped, he didn't make an acquisition. Because a Goy, we're going to see, cannot make an acquisition on a Jew. So if the Goy didn't make an acquisition, how can the second guy that comes to redeem him make an acquisition to own him? So the Gemara says, Ulrava damar lachar yi'ush. Ulrabo sheni, rabo sheni miman karile. The second master, which is the one that redeemed him, who did he acquire from? Mishabai, from the captors? Shabai gufe mikarile. Do the captors have the ability to own the Eved Kanani and thereby be makneh to the one that redeems? How do you know he can't? Because it says, the Gemara says, yes, in. The Gemara says, kani le lema'aseh yadav. That a goy does have a kinyan on an Eved Kanani. He might not be able to own the goof of an Eved Kanani, the body of an Eved Kanani, but he owns him for ma'aseh yadav, which means a goy can own a Jew or Eved Kanani for his work. That means he can own him for ma'aseh yadav. So therefore, on the kinyan that he made for ma'aseh yadav, now the cap, the one that's redeeming him, can acquire that Eved Kanani for himself. So the Gemara says, "Damar ish lakish." Minayin l'oved kuchavim shekanat oved kuchavim l'maasei adam. How do we know that a goy can acquire another goy for his work? Shne'emar ve'gam b'bnei atoshavim agarim imachem mehem tiknu. Atem konim mehem. A Jew can buy a goy. When a Jew buys a goy, that's called kinyan aguf. The Jew owns the actual body of the goy. However, ve'loim konim mekem. But a goy cannot acquire and buy a Jew, kinyan aguf. He cannot own a Jew. Ve'loim konim ze mize. Nor can a goy buy even themselves. A goy cannot even buy themselves for avdut. So the Gemara says, Yako lo yiknu ze et ze. Do you think that they won't be able to acquire each other? What do you mean? We just said that they cannot acquire each other. What are you asking a question? You think that they can't? Yeah, they can't. We just said they can't. So comes the Gemara and says, no. It means like this. A goy cannot acquire another goy intrinsically for his body. However, but what I think that a goy cannot acquire a goy for the ma'aseh adam, for his work, so we make a kav v'chomer. Oved kochavim Yisrael kone. A goy can buy a Jew for his work. Oved kochavim lo kol sheken, which is to acquire a Jew is very difficult. And still a goy can acquire a Jew for his handiwork. A Jew can never be the slave of a goy. But the Jew can be a slave to the extent that he has to work for him. But his body does not belong to the goy. So if a goy can acquire a Jew, the ma'asei adav, certainly a goy can acquire a goy, the ma'asei adav. Oh, so comes the Gemara, look at Rashi, top line. Ve'lo em konim et ehad mekem. A goy cannot acquire a Jew. Legufo. What does it mean, legufo? She'et tzarich emenu get. Which means, normally when a slave to go free, you have to give him a get, you have to give him papers. A goy cannot buy a Jew where he owns him, that he's going to need a get in order to go free. Goy cannot own a Jew. Or im yivrat memenu v'yidgayer mutar bebat Yisrael. Well, for that matter, let's say a goy cannot buy an Eved Kanani. Now, normally an Eved Kanani is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. An Eved Kanani can only marry a shifhat, can only marry a slave. However, if let's say a goy buys an Eved Kanani, he doesn't own the Eved Kanani, meaning if he runs away this Eved Kanani, he's free. He's able to marry whoever he wants. As she says, She'en gufo kanui lehavero, which means he's not owned by the goy. Oved kuchavim kone Yisrael lema'asei adav. However, an Oved kuchavim can buy a Jew for ma'asei adav, for work. So it says, comes the Gemara and says, Ve'ema hani mili bekaspa, which means that which we say that a goy could buy a goy, maybe that's only with kinyan kesef, which means maybe a goy can only buy a goy, oved kuchavim, only if he's buying him with money, because that's the way goyim acquire things, with money. However, abal bahazaka lo. But there's another way to acquire a slave, through hazaka. What does hazaka mean? When the slave does work for you. For example, the slave takes off the master's shoes. That's already a work. That's called the hazaka. So I would have thought that maybe through the action of hazaka, maybe that doesn't work for a goy. Abal hazaka lo. Now why would I say that? Because normally, for Jewish people, we acquire fields through hazaka. For example, how do I acquire a field? I work on the field, that's considered a kinyan. And slaves are compared to fields. And just like I can kone a field with hazaka, a Jew can acquire a slave through hazaka. But goyim, they don't acquire fields only through money. And therefore, just like fields are acquired only through money for goyim, I would think that maybe they can only acquire each other through money. How do I know that a goy can even acquire a goy through hazaka? So that becomes Amar Papa. Amon u'Mo'av tiaru b'Sihon. The ayah is from the story of Amon and Mo'av and Sihon. The Torah said that we're not allowed to fight Amon and Mo'av. It's a commandment from the Torah. However, it says Sihon conquered Amon and Mo'av. Once Sihon conquered Amon and Mo'av, they became purified. Now we're able to conquer Sihon, and by that we ended up getting Amon and Mo'av as well. Now, how did Sihon conquer Amon and Mo'av? So it says through hazakah, which means they acquired them as slaves. They didn't buy them. There was nobody transacted. And still it's considered what? That they were absorbed as part of sihon. So you see, a goy can acquire a goy even through a hazakah. Oh, very good. So therefore, comes the Gemara and says, Ashkechad Oved Kukavim. We found that what? That a goy can buy another goy through hazakah. Oved Kukavim, Oved Kukavim. Oved Kukavim Yisrael Minalan. Now, how do you know a goy can acquire a Yisrael Ma'asi Adam through hazakah? So the Gemara says, Dechtiv, it says by the king of Canaan when he conquered the Jewish people, it says, Vayish Menu Shevi. That they took Jews into captivity. Now, the fact that it's considered they took us into captivity means they owned us, at least for work. How did they own us? Through hazakah. They didn't pay for us. So therefore, let's review the rules that come out of this Gemara. The Gemara starts, now that we read the Gerasa, now let's go back and review it outside. Basically, the Gemara is saying like this. According to Ravan, Ravan says that when the slave got taken into captivity, the original owner made Yeush. Good. The second guy came along, he was a good Samaritan, he went and redeemed the slave from captivity, and he redeemed him for the sake to be a slave. So the Gemara says, according to Ravah, the second guy, the redeemer, owns the Eved. So the Gemara question is, how does he own the Eved? From who did he acquire it from? Well, he acquired it from the goy, from the captor. Wait, but the captor himself, he doesn't have a kinyan, a goy doesn't have a kinyan. No, the Gemara says, yes, a goy does have a kinyan on a Jew for ma'aseh yadav. Oh, so that means I'm freeing the slave, meaning for myself now. So therefore, I'm koneh from the goy that had the slave, the Eved Kanani. And then once he has ma'aseh yadav, that she says, he'll dip him in the mikveh again, because you have to dip him in the mikveh, l'shem avdut. And once he dips in the mikveh again, now he becomes my slave. And the Gemara just went out and spoke that the mechanics, the way it works is that a Jew can acquire a goy legufo, where he owns the goy. The Eved Kanani, that is. Nafka Minah, if he owns him, that if he wants to go free, he needs a get. Nafka Minah, he's a slave, that if he runs away and converts, he cannot marry a Jew until he gets the freedom paper. Masha'enken, a goy can acquire a goy, and he can even acquire a Jew, but only the ma'aseh yadav, only for work. And we learned that from what? From the fact that Sihon conquered Ammon and Moab. That teaches us goy to a goy, even through hazakah, because that wasn't through kesef, and we also learned that a goy can conquer or acquire a Jew through hazakah, like we see by the war of Canaan against the Jewish people, since they took us into captivity, they didn't pay for us, but they owned us. How? The ma'aseh yadayim through hazakah. Again, hazakah means that you do work for them. So, like I told you, the master tells the slave, take off my shoes. Or do physical action. So that's the way that works over there. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Shaman bar Abba Amar Rav Yohanan. Eved shebarach mebet ha'asurin. Okay, you have a slave. He ran away from prison. He was taken into captivity. He ran away. Yatsa lehanut. He goes free. He goes free, which means the owner is forced now to free. We tell the owner you have to write him a get shahrun. You got to write him papers. So comes the Gemara now and analyzes this halakha. Gemara is going to explain. Which means like this. Once already he ran away into captivity and the owner made yi'ush. So therefore the monetary connection is lost because he gave up hope already. But there's still a connection that he's an Eved. So therefore the rabbis forced the owner to give him a shahrud. Because if you don't give him a shahrud, he's not going to be able to get married. He can't marry a Jewish girl until he gets his papers. He can't marry a shifcha because he's partly free. So therefore he's in limbo. So therefore the rabbis would say, in this case where he went into captivity, and he ran away from the captives, in this case over there, we forced the master to give him his papers in order to set him free. Comes the Gemara says, Tenan, we learned in the Mishnah. By the way, that statement was the name of Rabbi Yohanan. Tenan. Rabban Shem'on began the Elomen. Ben kach u ben kach yishtabed. We learned in the Mishnah says that whenever somebody redeems a slave from captivity, he always goes back to the original owner. That was the Shitav Rashbag. V'amar Rabban bar bar hana bar Rabbi Yohanan, kol makom sheshana Rabban Shem'on began the Mishnah tenu alcha kemoto. Anytime we have a Mishnah with the Shitav Rabban Shem'on Gamliel, halakha always follows Rabban Shem'on Gamliel from the Mishnah. Chutz, Me'arev, V'sidon, V'ra'ayah, Haronah. Except for three cases, We don't have to understand these cases. There are three cases where the Shmag was in the Mishnah that we don't go like him. Sidon is one case. That was a story that happened in the city of Sidon. One is Arev, that's a case of a guarantor, Ne'ayah Harona. But the point is, besides those three cases, whenever Rashbag is written in the Mishnah, the Halakha follows him. Now, what did Rashbag say in the Mishnah? That when the Redeemer redeems the slave, he always goes back to the original master. So now the Gemara analyzes. Mishnah ma'ala baye muki la lahai lifnei yi'ush ve'hai de lahar yi'ush. Which means, that which it said in the Mishnah, then he goes back to the original master. I can tell you the case is talking about because the owner original did not make Yush. And since he did not make Yush yet, he goes back to the original owner. And this case of the Yohanan that we just quoted, that says what? That we tell the master that he's got to free him, so because he made Yush. So since the monetary is off, because the guy ran away into captivity, then he escaped the captivity. So then we force the owner to give a get. Why? Because since he made Yush on the monetary, so he just has to give a get on the Isur. So again, we can learn the Mishnah and the Rabbi Yohanan's statement are not contradictory. Again, the Mishnah that said he always goes back to the original owners because he didn't make Yush yet. In the case of Rabbi Yohanan, we force him to write again because he made Yush when he went into captivity. Therefore, he loses his monetary connection. Then we force him to write again in order to allow him to go get married. However, according to the way Rava understood the Mishnah, El al Rava, Da'amar Da'achar Yush. But according to the way Rava understood the Mishnah, that what? Rashbag said, even if the first owner made Yush, it goes back to him. So the question then is, if even after Yush it goes back to the first owner, seemingly, Rabbi Yohanan, you're contradicting yourself. Because you said originally that what? That once the owner makes Yush, we force him to write a Get Shalur. And you also said that Halakha follows Rashbag. And Rashbag says, even if he makes Yush, it goes back to the original owner. Make up your mind. So Gemara says, Kashin Rabbi Yohanan, Rabbi Yohanan, Ama Lach Rava, let me explain to you the reason why Rashbag said that even if the original owner makes Yush, once the slave is redeemed, he goes back to the original owner. Now you can ask a strong question. The original owner made Yush. Why should he get his slave back? The answer is like this, because if a slave is going to know that if he gets taken into captivity, he's going to automatically go free. Once his master gives up hope on him, he has a way out. He'll throw himself into captivity. His master will give up hope. He'll run away or get redeemed. And therefore, he's free. So Hezkiah thought that because of that concern, we tell the Eved, you're never going free, by the way. If you get thrown into captivity, you know what? You're always going back to the original, even if he makes Yush. Oh, but that's, if you're working with that logic, that's talking about a person that has the brain or the mentality that is going to throw himself into captivity. That's what we're concerned about. He might throw himself into captivity. However, this guy over here, in our case over here, Rabbi Yohanan, what's the story over here? He ran away from the captives. Right? He was taken into captivity with the prison and then he ran away. So the Gemara says, Hashta l'katala masan nafshe. The guy risked his life, right, by running away from the captives, because they can kill him by running away. So the Gemara says, "Apule apil nafshe legayasot," which means you think this guy's going to throw himself into being a captive. Which means if this guy risked his life to run away from the captives, in this case, you don't have to worry that he's going to throw himself into captivity. So in the case where he runs away, even Rashbag will say, if the original owner gives up hope, give him a get and free him. So I repeat. There's two cases, the way Rashbag will understand it, according to Rabba, with the interpretation of Hezkiah. In our Mishnah, it was a regular case. A guy was thrown into captivity. The original owner gave up hope. You know what Rashbag says? When he gets redeemed, give him back to the original owner. Why? Because there's been no incentive now for the slave to throw himself into captivity, thinking that he'll go free. You're never going free. Oh, but that logic doesn't apply in Rabbi Yohanan's case. Because Rabbi Yohanan said the case was he was thrown into captivity and he ran away. Now, you see this guy over here, he don't want to be in captivity for nothing. He's even willing to risk his life not to be in captivity. So in that case over there, if he doesn't, the original gives up hope, he indeed goes free. Because there I don't have to suspect that he would throw himself into captivity. Because here you see he's risking his life to run away from captivity. Because Shekin is not going to throw himself in. So in that case, even Ashbag will not make a gizera. That's why Rabbi Hanan could agree in this case that what? That indeed he will go free, meaning he will force the owner since he made Yi'ush, so the monetary is off, so he has to give him a get in order to free him so he can get married. Comes Gemara and tells some stories. The slave, or the Shifha actually, that's the maidservant of Mor Shemuel, was taken into captivity by the Goyim. Parkuha, Leshum Amhata. Okay, some Jews came and redeemed her for the sake that she should remain a slave. Veshadrule, and they sent her back to Shemuel. Shalhuled, so they sent to Shemuel, they said, Anan Kiraban Shimon bin Gamliel Sfiralan. Which means we hold like Rashbag. Rashbag says that even if we would have redeemed her for the sake of freedom, doesn't matter. She always goes back to the original best. That's why we're returning her to you. At ina meke rabbanan svirach. And you, even if you hold like Rabbanan, that say what? That when she's redeemed for the sake of freedom, that she indeed goes free. Anad leshum amata parkir nihala. We didn't redeem her for the sake that she should go free. We redeemed her for the sake that she'd be your slave. And they assumed that he didn't make Yi'ush yet. And therefore they said, we did you a favor. We did it, Lashem Evet. You didn't make Yi'ush yet anyway. Therefore, take it back. We did you a favor. The Inu Savur Lifne Yi'ush. They thought that it was before Yi'ush. That's why they gave it back. However, the Gemara says, Belahi. It wasn't the case. Le'achar Yi'ush. Shemuel really made Yi'ush. Ushmuel. So therefore, really, according to me, he was not the keeper. Because since he made Yi'ush, so therefore the monetary went off him. However, the Hadush is, Shemuel held the big Hadush here, that she's freed automatically, you don't even have to give her a get for the Isur. Why? So it says, Shemuel follows his reasoning. Damar Shemuel, Hamafkir Avdo. Let's say a person makes his slave hifkir. I make my slave odorless. I relinquish my ownership. Yatsa lechirud ve'enot tzarich get shechirud. Wow. Not only does the monetary go off, but the isur goes over. He's free as a bird. He can even go now and get married to a Shemuel hold. You don't need two processes. Hifkir enough makes the slave free. So then in this case, what happened? They came along and figured they're doing Shemuel a favor. We hold really like Rashbag. So Rashbag says you always get the slave back. But even though you don't hold like Rashbag, you're like the rabbis, still since you're before Yi'ush, and we redeemed them for the sake of slavehood, take them back. Shmuel says, nah, I made Yi'ush. And once I hold, make Yi'ush, not only is she free, but I don't even got to give her documents. Because I hold when a person's mefkiyed, his slave goes free. On all levels, not only the monetary level, but even on the slave, meaning that she can go get married now, even to a regular, full-fledged Yisrael. How does he know that? So it says, Shene'emar, Pasuk says by Korban Pesach, Dechol Eved Ish Miknat Kasef. That any person that has a slave also is bound to the Korban Pesach. But what is it called, the slave? Eved Ish, the slave of a man. So the Gemara says, Eved Ish for no Eved Isha? What does that mean, slave of a man, not the slave of a lady? Ela Eved sheyesh lo reshut l'rabo alav. Karui Eved. What's considered an Eved? An Eved is considered somebody that has a ish over him. Not a man, but somebody that dominates over him. Meaning that he has to work. However, she'en lo reshut l'rabo alav. But in a case where the Eved does not have an ish over him, what's that for example? Where the owner freed him, meaning not freed him, was mafkir him, made him ownerless, and karui Eved. He's not called an Eved, and therefore he has a deen of a full-fledged Yisrael. Even though he didn't give him a get shichru. So if again, Shemuel holds. So long as an Eved is called Eved Ish, meaning he has somebody controlling him. What do you mean controlling him? Meaning, there's a shemun on the mamon, meaning he has to work for him. That's called an Eved. Once the shemun of the mamon goes off, the guy's not considered an Eved anymore. He's considered a full-fledged Yisrael. And even though he did not get a get, Shechrur, comes the Gemara and tells another story. Amtei de Rabbi Abba bar Zutra Ishtabai. Okay, the main servant of Rabbi Abba bar Zutra was taken into captivity. Parka, ha'u tarmoda'a. A goy from Tarmod redeemed the girl, the Abba Shifha Kenanit. Okay? Neshum iteta. Oh, but he wanted to marry her. But that's a problem because the Shifha Kenanit has a status. She's Jewish now. She's not full-fledged Jewish, but now there's a problem because this guy wants to marry her. Shalhu le Lidide. So they sent message to the rabbi in Abba Bar Sutra, Iya ut abad, if you want to do right, Shadar le gita de haruta, send her papers to free her. Now, what's that going to help? If the goy wants to marry her, what is sending her papers to become free? Now she becomes a full-fledged Jew. Now it's even worse. So comes the Gemara and says, Hechi dameh, what's the case? Ide matze parkula, if they had the ability to redeem her, Lama le gita de haruta, why should he free her? Which means, let the rabbi go and redeem her with money and bring her back to slavery. Why are they forcing the rabbi to free her? It's costing him money now. Which is, by freeing the slave, he loses her. Why don't they just tell him, go redeem her? Now, or maybe the case was talking about where they couldn't redeem her. The guy wasn't interested in redemption. So, what is sending a get going to help over here? Which is, just because he freed her, it's not going to help the situation. She's still marrying the goy. Which is the Gemara saying, we don't understand the advice that the rabbis gave the master. The rabbi told the master, you want to be a good man? Send her a get shahrur. If he was able to redeem her, let him redeem her. He has his slave back. And if she's not redeemable, sending a get shahrur is not going to do anything. So the Gemara says, no. Le'olam dematzu parkuna. Really, they had the ability to redeem her, which means they had the money, and the guy was willing. Once he'll send her the get shahrud, habure mechavre ahadadi ufarkela. The people will get together and collect the money and redeem her. There's a machlokan amongst the rabbis. Is it a mitzvah to redeem an eved, or it's only a mitzvah to redeem a full-fledged Israel? So what was the concern over here? The goy was willing to accept ransom. But what? The people were not willing to give it because they said there's no mitzvah to redeem a shifha. So they told the rabbi, free her. Now she'll have the status of a full-fledged Jewess. Now the people will fork up the money and will be able to free her. So the advice was given in order that she will ultimately get her freedom. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. Another way of understanding the olam, de lo matzu parkula. Which is really, I'll tell you, the goy was not interested in redeeming. So therefore, what's the inyan? V'cheva demeshadad lagita deharuta. So by sending the get, what is the get? Now she's a full-fledged Jew, Jewess. What is that going to help? Mitzela la. Oh. The goy doesn't want everybody to know that he's marrying somebody that was a former shifha. Until she gets the freedom papers, nobody knows it was quiet. Nobody knows that she's a shifha. Once already you're going to send her the papers, everybody's, oh, this was a shifha, you're marrying a shifha. It's a zilzul for a goy even to marry a shifha. So therefore, it was an incentive in order to break up the relation. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, is a goy really embarrassed to do such a thing? A goy likes the animals of the Jew even more than their own wives. So if they like the animal of the Jew, certainly this is a Jewish. She's a shifha kenani. She's partly Jewish. So therefore, why would that be a disincentive? On the contrary, now it's the coverage. Now, once he gets free, she's full-fledged Jewish. And therefore, he shouldn't be dissuaded by that. The Gemara says, "Hani mili bitzina," which means that's only when he can get away with it in private, when nobody's going to know that she was a former shifha. Avad befarhesia, but when the word gets out, zila behu milta, it's a busha, and therefore, for a shifha, it's embarrassing that he married a shifha. Before she gets the get shahrur, he can keep it on the low key. Nobody knows that she's a shifha. Okay, Jewish ladies marry, no problem. They love the animals of the Jews even more than their own wives. Because she's a Jewish lady. So the rabbi said, I got an advice. Send her a get. There'll be a lot of talk. Oh, look at this lady. She was a slave. She got free now. Oh, now they go, oh, you're marrying a former shifha? Oh, the guy's embarrassed. That much already. So it was a way to dissuade the goy from the marriage. He abta. There was a certain shifha kananit. She lived in the city of Pompedita. Unfortunately, the people were making isun with her. They were going with her, they were making avirot with her.
Amar Abaye, Ilav Damar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol HaMishachrer Avdo Over Be'aseh.
If it wasn't for the fact that Shmuel taught that you're not allowed to free slaves, it's asur to free a slave, Eved Kanani or Shifha, because it says, Le'olam Behem Ta'avodu. They have to work for everything. If it wasn't for that halakha that says it's asur to free slaves, Hava Kayifta Le Lamara, I would force the owner to free her. Why? Uchtiv La'gita De'haruta. Because once already she's free, now already she's a full-fledged Jewish. Now already they won't fool around with her anymore. Now already they're only fooling around with her because she's a Amna Ivriya, so she doesn't have the status of a full-fledged Jew. So they're making Isur. Because it's Asur, the Torah says, Lo Yeh Kadesh. You're not allowed to go with her. But it seems they only went with her because she was a Shefa. But if she would have gotten freed, then she has the status of a full-fledged Jewish, then they're not going to play around with her. So the rabbi said, if it wasn't for the fact that it's Asur to free slaves, I would say in this case, make an exception, because the people are making Isur. So comes the Gemara and says, Va'abaye. Sorry, Ravina Abad, ki ha moded Rav Yehuda mishum mitad Isura. Ravina comes along and says, I'm sorry. Rav Yehuda in this case would say, free her. You know why? You can make this Isur in order to save the people from making other Isurim. So the Gemara says, Va'abaye, wa'akam Abaye said, don't do it. Mishum Isura lo.
There
was a story of a lady. She was half free, half bin, about 20. How could you be half and half? She had two owners. One owner freed his half, and the other owner retained his half. Now this lady's in limbo. She can't get married to anybody. She can't get married to a free man because she's half slave. She can't get married to a slave because she's half free. So therefore, what the rabbis do in this case? They forced the other guy to free her in totality. That the reason why they did that over there, because they were mistreating her, because since she couldn't get married to anybody, so the men were going with her. So what do you see over here? That was a situation where it's going to come to Isur. You're free. So Abaye, why did you come along and say, in this case over here, where the lady was a shifha, right? So you came along and you said, you know what, since it's asur to free slaves, we're not going to free. What do you mean? You see this case over here where she was half and half, another case that they did free. So comes again one and says, Hachi Ashta. Come on, is it comparable? Hatam lo le'eved hazya velo le'ben chorin hazya. There when she's half and half, she's stuck. She can't get married to anybody. So the rabbi said, okay, she can't get married to anybody. The people are now making Isur with her. So you know what? In that case where she has no option, they said, you know what? Free her. However, Amal, over here, in this case over here where she was a full-fledged shifha, and just the people were fooling around with her, get her an Eved, put the Eved with her, the Eved will protect her from all the other people. Well, there's an option to get her married to somebody where she won't commit zdut with anybody else again. But in the case of the half-half, she can't go with Yisrael, she can't go with an Eved. The only option is freed outside. So if I mean, don't bring me a question why they freed in the case of the half-half and not my case. My case over there, she was a full-fledged shifa. There's an answer in this case. You don't have to over the Isur. Let's get her an Eved, put them together, the Eved will protect her. Comes the Gemara and says, Gufa. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol HaMishachrer Avdo Over Be'aseh. Okay, we're going to the subject over here. According to Shmuel, Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, anybody that frees his slave, Eved Kanani, is Over in Aseh, Lichtiv, Shneimah, Le'olam Behem, Ta'avod. You got to work forever. Metive, we have a story, Ma'aseh, Ben Abiyah, Eliezer, Shneimah, Ben Tekanes, one time, Ben Abiyah, came to the synagogue. Ve'lo Matza Asana, he needed a minyan. There was only 9 people. What did he do? Mishachrer Avdo. He freed his slave. Once you free the slave, he becomes fully Jewish. Now you can make a minyan. So you see what? Amity, it's not asur. You see, he did it. Comes the Gemara and says, Vishlimo la'asara. Mitzvah shani. Mitzvah is different. Which means for a tzorech of a mitzvah, to say nakdishan, vadabim, and things like that, that already is permissible. We're talking just to free him for no reason. Just stop. But if you have a mitzvah, vadabim, like in this case, to make a minyan, it would be permissible. The Ramban explains the logic over here. The whole isut to free a slave is because you're not allowed to give the goyim matanat kainam. You can't give them a gift. You can't give them a free gift. So by freeing a slave, you're giving him a free gift. But the Ramban explains that if you're giving them the gift to benefit yourself, then it's okay. Because sometimes you would give a gift to a goy, so he'll do a favor back to you and you'll benefit. So in this case over here, although he freed the slave, why did he free the slave? Not for the slave's benefit, for his benefit. Therefore, according to Ramban, you have no problem. And therefore, the Gemara says, Mitzvah de Rabim Shani. Taru Rabbanan, we have a brighter. Le'olam bahim ta'avodu. Says the Torah, they have to work forever. They shoot. The Mishmael says, optional. Which means, they don't have to, you're allowed to free them according to the Mishmael. Yeah. Which means, if you want to keep them, you can keep them, but you don't have to. So he learns that there's no issue to free a slave. Rabbi Akiva omer chova. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's a mandatory. Oh, so comes again what it says, V'dilma Rabbi Eliezer savala kemad amar reshut. So go back to that story when Rabbi Eliezer freed his slave. I'll tell you now why he freed his slave. Not because it's a mitzvah de Rabbim. Maybe he freed his slave because he holds like the opinion that says that it's only a reshut anyway. Which we have a machloka now. Is it mandatory to keep your slave forever or is it only voluntary? So I'm going back to that story now. Once you tell me it's a machloka, it could be Rabbi Eliezer. The reason why he freed his slave for the minyan because he's the one that held voluntary. But it's impossible. You know why? Lo sakadatach. The Tanya Behedya says Beferush explicitly. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Chova. So we know Rabbi Eliezer says that it's Asur to free a slave. That's what he had to say. The only reason why he did it because you're for a minyan. Mitzvah de Rabbim Shani. Comes again and says one more point. Amar Rav. Amar Rabba, actually. Behani Tlat Mile. Because of the following three items. Nachte Ba'ale Batim Benich Sehon. Ba'alei batim lose money. There's a reason why people lose their money because they transgress the following three items. What are they? The mafkeh avdayu lechiluta. Number one, because they free their slaves. They free their slaves. You're not supposed to free your slave. So they omit on that. Number two, udisaydeh nichsayu b'shabbeta. They check their property on Shabbat. On Shabbat, they go to the real estate and they analyze it. They don't work, but they just look at it. Oh, after Shabbat, I'll do this, I'll do that. They just talk about their business on Shabbat, which is really asur. So by talking about their business and analyzing their fields of properties on Shabbat, that causes them to lose their money. And number three, they make their seuda on Shabbat at the time of the shi'ud. It seems in the old days they had a shi'ud at a certain time in the Bet Knesset, like Minha time. So everybody had to go to learn Torah. So these guys over here, they would extend their meal and enjoy and all that. They wouldn't go to the shi'ud. That would cause them to lose their panasah as well. Which means the hakam was giving the nasha. They were sitting eating. That doesn't mean you shouldn't eat. You should eat earlier or eat later. Don't eat at the time that the hakam is giving the nasha. Comes again what says, the Amar of Hayabar Abba Amar of Yohanan. There were two families that lived in Jerusalem. One had their seuda on Shabbat at the time of the derasha. And one had the seuda on Erev Shabbat. We'll explain what that means. And both of them were uprooted. Now we understand why the first one was uprooted, because they had the seuda during the time of the derasha. But what's the pshat in the second family? It says they had their seuda on Erev Shabbat. So some explain, that she gives two interpretations here. One explanation that she is like this. They would eat a big meal on Friday afternoon before Shabbat. So they would go into Shabbat without an appetite. And therefore when it came to Friday night seuda, they didn't eat. So because of that, they were uprooted. Because that's a disrespect to the Shabbat to have a big seuda on Erev Shabbat. Another interpretation that she brings down, Erev Shabbat means the night of Shabbat. Erev of Shabbat, which means Friday night. So what's the problem? They had a seuda on Friday night, that's praiseworthy. And there was no shiur on Friday night, so what's the problem? Problem is, according to the halakha, the main meal of Shabbat is Shabbat lunch. And what were they doing? They were making their ikar seuda on Friday night, and Shabbat by lunch, they were not having the same level. And if since they switched, they had the seuda of Lil Shabbat, they made that ikar seuda, ne'akiru. So you see, for these reasons over here, they lose out. Now the Maharsha over here explains why. Why should this cause a person's panasah to be diminished? So we're going to read the Maharsha together. It says like this. יש לתת טעם בזה. דמד דמפיק עבדו לחירות, the guy that frees his slave, הרי הוא עצמו פוחד והוריד עצמו מנכסיו מייסון עשה. Yeah, which means he did it himself. Which means by freeing your slave, so you lost the worker. Therefore, you go down and you. That's common sense. You have one less asset. So therefore, by making the isun, you're gonna lose an asset. That's simple. With the siyem nechsem b'shabbat, or when a person checks his fields on Shabbat, harizem b'hashem b'tzurich melacha b'yom b'shabbat b'melachto zu. גם בחול אחר כך אינה מתברכת. כיוון דחישב בו בשבת, השבת היפך החסיד שאמרו בו שלא צריך לתקן, הפך החסיד שאמרו בו שלא צריך לתקן מה שהיה מחשב בשבת, ונעשה לו נס ונעשה מלאכתו באליו. גמרא שבת, there's a story of a certain חסיד. He saw a certain breach in his fence on Shabbat, he didn't even want to think about it on Shabbat, he didn't want to even let it enter his mind. So the Gemara says that Hashem made a miracle. What? The fence repaired itself. Because he didn't want to think of it. So what do you see from over here? The opposite is also true. That whatever you think about on Shabbat, to do it during the week, the berakha doesn't happen during the week. Because you thought about it on Shabbat. The third thing is that they had to sit with that during the time of the, during the derasha. Because the Gemara berakhot says, the Hasidim Rishonim, they made their Torah permanent, and they made their Parnasah alay. And there was a beracha. They learned a lot of hours a day, and they worked a little, and there was a beracha in their work. Oh, but this guy over here, he's making from his eating kefa, he's making from his Torah. Arai. So the Maharsha says over here, en melachto mitbarechet. So when they go to work during the week, you showed us that the learning is not the ikar by you. When the learning is ikar, then already is beracha in the business. But when you show that the learning is not the ikar, then there's no berachah in the business. Therefore, they were eating. The eating is the ikar. Eating is the ikar. Therefore, they went to work during the 6 days of the week. There was no berachah. So for these reasons, that's why the panasa is diminished. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav, Hamagdish Avdo Yatsa Leherut. A person that makes his Eved Karani Hegdesh. He says, Hare Ata Hegdesh. So according to Rabba, he goes out free. My ta'ama, what's the reason? Gufe lo kadish. He was not able to make his actual body sanctified. There's one type of hekdesh that's called hekdesh begufo. For example, you do that to an animal. Well, the animal itself becomes sanctified in order to put it on the mizbeah. However, an eved is not ra'ui for kedushat haguf. So when he said are ata hekdesh, he couldn't have meant to kedushat mizbeah. Lidme lo ka'amar. And if he meant that he wants to give the value of the Eved to the Bet HaMikdash, that's another type of Hekdesh, where you Magdish something for its monetary value, for its Damim. So if he meant that he wants, let's say the Eved is worth, let's say $1,000, and he just meant to say he wants to give $1,000 to the Bet HaMikdash, he didn't say that. Lidme lo ka'amar. He didn't say the word Deme Avdi. Lo kadish ledme, lo ka'amar. Deleve am kadosh ka'amar. Must be when he said that his magdish is Eved, he meant that he should be am kadosh. What does am kadosh mean? Part of the holy nation. Which means what? Full-fledged Jew. When an Eved goes free, he becomes fully obligated in the mitzvot. So that when he says am magdish, he means that he should become be'am kadosh. Look at Rashi. Dibura matri deleve am kadosh. Yisrael Gamur. Dichtiv bihu ki am kadosh ata. Right? The Jewish people are called am kadosh. Velodame le magdish behemat teme'a. It's not analogous to a case where a person's magdish, let's say, a teme'a animal. Te'atam keva deleka le memar ba teve am kadosh. Ka'amar over there. You can't say by an animal that you're making it am kadosh. Right? An animal cannot become am kadosh. Al korhak ledme ka'amar. By an animal, for sure, he meant that he's going to give the value of the animal. Even though he didn't say the word deme alai, haki kamar harei kedushal di macher, which means the kedushas, I'm going to sell it, and with the money I'm going to give it to hegdesh. Over here, it's shayach to make the eved kadosh, not as a korban, but as a Jew, and therefore lo amrinan the deme kamar. Since he didn't say the word deme, so therefore we assume that he meant mamash am kadosh, and therefore he becomes Jewish.
chayav in mitzvot. Comes the Gemara and says, V'Rav Yosef Amar Rav. Rav Yosef says the name of Rav. Hamafkir avdo yatsa lechirut. If a person, let's say, makes his eved hefkir, he relinquishes ownership. He says to the eved, Are ata hefkir. So the Gemara says he goes out free. Now, man de amar magdish, if the one that says that you magdish your eved, he goes out free, kol sheken mafkir. All the more so if he is mafkir. Man de amar mafkir, but the one that says if he makes his eved hefkir, aval magdish lo. Why? Dilma lidme ka'amar. Because maybe when he says magdish eved, he means for its monetary value, which means he just means to give his value to the Bet HaMikdash. So if you hold Magdish, kol sheken mafkir, but if you hold mafkir, not necessarily Magdish. Ibai Elihu, the Gemara has a question, tzarich get shechrur or lo tzarich? A person's mafkir is Eved. Good. Now, when you mafkir the Eved, which part of the Eved? The Eved has two values. Number one, he has the mamonot value, which means he's the property of the owner. So when you mafkir him, you're giving him back his mamonot. You're giving him back his monetary value, which means no longer does he have to work for the Adon anymore, which means if the Eved will work for himself, the money goes to him now. So he was mafkir the mamonot in the Eved. But there's also isur in the Eved, which means so long as he's still an Eved, he's not allowed to marry a Isha Yisraelit. So therefore the she'ela is when you mafkir an Eved, is it only the mamonot shebo, but you still need to get shechrur, you still need a document in order to free up the isur, or does the efker free up everything? So comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, the amar of Chaya bar Abin, amar Rav, echad ze yatzal lechirut, which means, whether you magdish in Eved, whether you mafkir in Eved, Rav says, the slave goes out free. However, v'sarich get shechrur, but you still got to give a get. So the hefker in the hekdesh is mafkia the mamon, which means it relinquishes the monetary angle of the eved, but still there's the isur aspect of it, which means he cannot marry a Yisraelit. So therefore you have to finish the freedom with a get shechrur. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Umutbinan ashmatin. We asked on Rabba, which means these statements that we just made above, Rava says we have a question. What's the question? It says the following. Hamagdish nechasav. A person made his assets, hegdish. Vayu ben avadim. Okay, amongst his assets he had avadim. He had Eved Kanaanis. En agizbarim rasha'im lehotzi'an leherut. The gizbarim, those are the collectors of Hekdesh, they are not allowed to free the Eved. They cannot send them to Herut. Aval mochrin otan la'achirim. Which means, when the guy said Hekdesh, he meant really the monetary value. So Hekdesh doesn't own the Abadim in order to free them. What Hekdesh has the right to do is sell the Eved, and that money that they got for the sale, they could use now for the Beit HaMikdash. And what? And if the second guy, or the guy that bought the Eved, that the Gizbar sold the Eved to, if he wants to free him, it's his option to free him. Now, Rabbi Omer, Omer Ani, Afu noten deme atzmo di yotze, mepeneshu kemochro lo. Rabbi says a big chantush. Not only did the Gizbarim have a right to sell the Eved to somebody else, and that money goes to Hekdesh, but the Eved himself can buy himself back, which means the Gizbarim can sell the Eved to himself, which means the Eved can get money. Well, everything the Eved gets belongs to the owner. So somebody else will give the Eved money and say, I'm giving you this money, and the owner has no rights to it. That type of money the Eved is able to hold. And he's able to give that money now to the Gizbarim as a sale. And therefore, he gives the money. The money will go to Hekdesh, and the Eved is able to go free. But the point is, whether you hold like Chachamim or you hold like Rabbi, what do you see over here? You see that when you magdish an Eved, it's for the monetary. It's not an automatic freedom like we were learning in the Gemara above. We learned above according to Rav. Magdish Avdo, he goes out to the Harut. It doesn't work that way. Here you see Magdish Avdo, he was Magdish all his Nechassim, the guy. In the Nechassim, there was Abadim. What is the Deen?
The deen is that the Eved, the monetary part of the Eved belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, so the Beit HaMikdash can sell him to, let's say, somebody else, but he doesn't go free. So comes the Gemara and says, Matnitin karamit ale de Rav, Rav Tanahu Palik. The Gemara, what are you asking from a Tanaic statement against Rav? Rav himself has a status of a Tana. And therefore, Rav can argue, which means don't bring me a Tanaic statement against Rav. Rav Tanahu Palik. Now let's read Rashi. Let's get Rashi clear in these cases over here. Ela gizbarim rasha'im lotzi'an leherut. Which means the gizbarim are not allowed to free the slave. Va'afilu lekabel miyad ha'eved pidyono. Even to, let's say, if the eved wants to pay his freedom to the gizbarim, the kaimalan eved kone et atzmo bekesef. An eved can free himself with money. Im natnu lo al menat she'en l'rabbo reshut bo. If somebody gave him money, let's say, with the condition that his master has no rights to that money, the Eved can use that money to buy himself freedom. However, these Gizbarim do not have rights to free the Eved, which means when the guy made the Eved Egdesh, he didn't give the goof of the body to Egdesh. All he did was what? Give the monetary value. For the money. Mechira, which means the Gizbarim have a right to sell, but they don't have a right to free. So therefore, the Gizbarim, the administrators of the Beit HaMikdash, will sell the Eved to somebody else. Right? That money they'll take and what? They'll use it for the Yegdesh. Aval mochrin otam la'achirim, v'damim le'egdesh, v'otam la'achirim motzim otam la'achirut im yiritzu. Now she says, if the guys that bought now they own the Eved, if they want to free him, obviously they have a right to do that as well. In any event, that she says, Afu noten deme atzmo viyotzi, im yimsa adam sheyin noten lo kesef amarat sheyin lebaalav reshuto. According to that B, the Eved can buy himself back. Which means, let's say somebody gave him money, like I told you, for himself, that the Adon has no rights to it. So the Gizbarim can come along and sell the Eved to himself. Which means, the Eved will give the money. That money now will go to Hekdesh. Now the Eved has no more monetary connection. All he has now is a Isur on him over there. Okay, so according to the B, we'll say that he goes free, because once he got the Mamon, he gets the Isur goes as well. But the point is, you see over here, from these Shitot, it's not like Rav. Rav held, once you give an Eved, Magdishan Eved, he goes out free, and here you see, not like that, it's only Lidme, it's only for the money. So comes the Gemara and answered, Rav Tanahu Palik. Good. Comes Gemara and answers another question. Tashema, Ach Kol Herim. Over here in the Pasuk, is talking about the ability of a person to make things Kodesh. So it says in the Pasuk, Ach Kol Herim Asher Yacharim Ish LaHashem Mikol Asher Lo Me'adam U'Bebehema. So it says, Me'adam Elu Avadav V'Shefkotav V'Kena'anim. Oh, so what do you see over here? That a person has a right to make his Avadim Hegdesh. Now, what does it mean, Ekdesh? Ledamim. Obviously, it's not talking about you making your Eved Ekdesh for a Korban. It means for the monetary value. But you see what? It's shot in Damim. It's not a freedom. So it's a question against Rav. So he goes, Hachem my askinan de Amar Lidme. Oh, you know what I'll tell you over here? It's talking about? We explicitly said, I'm making my Eved Ekdesh Lidme for his monetary value. Oh, the Gemara says, wait. Once you're reading into that statement, you're throwing in that he said it explicitly. So go back to the first question that we asked against Rav from the case of the Gizbarim. Right? So you came a question with the Gizbarim, and you came along and said what? That they take his value. Why is it a question of Rav? Maybe that case also was the guy that was Magdishus Nechasim, he said Lidme. And if he said Lidme, so therefore it's no question on Rav. Rav is Modeh. If you say Lidme, then it's monetary. You can't say that was just monetary. It doesn't make sense. And if all he did was Magdish, and Beferuchi said the word Demeh, which means for the monetary of the Eved, so what does the statement mean? The Gizbarim cannot free him. Look, do I need you to tell me that? Gizbarim may avidayu. The Gizbarim have no rights, bichlah, which is what do you need to even say such a statement? If it was Davka Lidmeh, so it's obvious that the Gizbarim have no rights to free him. V'tu aval mochrin otam la'achirim, v'achirim motzim otam la'chirut. If it was only Lidmeh, when the Gizbarim sell it to the next guy, how does the next guy have a right to free him? It was only Lidmeh. Which is, if it was Beferush Lidmeh, how could Rabbi say that the Eved can buy himself back? We're not talking about a freedom over here. We're talking about over here strictly the guy donated the value of the Eved. So if you're talking about that the case was talking about if he said Lidmeh, the Braita makes no sense. Why? The Mishnah makes no sense. Because it's talking about where the Gizbarim are able to... it says the Gizbarim cannot set him free. Of course, who would think that the Gizbarim can set him free? They don't have rights over him. He said Lidmeh. Or it says that what? The guy that he sold it to can send him free. Why could the guy send him free? It was only Lidmeh. Or the Eved himself can buy himself back. It was only Lidmeh. So therefore, you see what? That it cannot be talking about Bifirush Lidmeh. And therefore, that she says, look at that, she on the second wide line, Gizbarim may avitayu. Marishut yesh lehem be'eved. Halo en lehem ala be'arim ela ma'ot. Very good. So therefore, the Gemara concludes that this case must be talking about where he just said Magdish Stam. Oh, so the Hiddush is that you would have thought maybe Magdish Stam means he can go free. That's why the Bright Mishnah says, you know, the Gizbarim have no rights to send him free. He doesn't have a rights. Because even Magdish Stam is so Magdish Stam, according to this Gemara, is holding what? That it really is for the monetary. But it had to speak it out, because since he didn't say the word Lidmeh, you would have thought that it's even further. That's why I say, because Gizbarim don't have the rights to sell them. That's why it comes along and tells us over here that these laws apply. So therefore, the Ma'aseh comes out. We have a fantastic machloket between Tanaim over here. When you just say Stam, Magdish Eved, how does it work? Does it mean that the Eved goes out free? That's according to Rav. But the Tanaim that argue on the Rav, that when you Magdish Eved, it really means Lidmeh for the monetary of it, like we saw in the statement over here. Baruch Adonai Olam, Amen v'Amen.